morning. Welcome to worship today. We're glad you're here. We're going to do something a little outside the normal. You saw that slideshow here about some of our time in Houston. You all were good enough to get us on that trip, support us in prayer and financially. So we want to tell you a little bit about the impact it had on us. So if you guys will all come up right here. So I asked them to talk about something that stayed with them and will impact their faith life or how they see God from the trip. So that's what we're just going to go through and share with you guys. Let's use the mic, please. Tell us who you are and then drop in.
Nice to meet you. I'm Jay. And one thing that impacted me at the gathering was when we were in town, in the city, we had to use a metro to get around quite a bit, quite a lot. And if you've been on a metro, you meet some different, interesting people. But the amount of people that talk to us about their faith and how it's impacted their lives, it really made me more aware of the connection that you have with people who believe in the faith.
I'm Aiden. So I think a lot of the chats that we were having at night, like the quick 15-minute recaps of the day, and just being around Matt and hearing him talk about different things about the church and other churches and how they connect and how they're different, really helped me understand, I guess, logistically, like the differences between denominations and all of the different things that make us the same but still different. So I think that helped me understand everything a little bit better, and I think the chats at night helped me to kind of grow stronger in what I believe and affirm myself with Matt, and talking to everybody else helped us to come out about some things that we all decided that we supported, kind of.
Hey, I'm Caroline. And one thing that really impacted me was our trip to the Beacon Center, which was a day homeless shelter. And like, I really saw God's light when you saw all these people that have so little, but they impacted our lives so much just by like talking to us and telling them their experiences with God. And it was just amazing.
I'm Logan. Working at the homeless shelter really opened my eyes to see that just handing some food and working with them will really put a smile on their face, and they're really appreciated for it.
Hi, I'm Taylor. My favorite day was probably Senate Day, because there's a lot of churches in North Carolina that like really opened my eyes up, just all coming together knowing God changes everything.
All right, hi, I'm William. I'm with Logan and Caroline. I think that the Community Day service was like the most impactful day, because we got to like see the homeless people and see like what their perspective of life is and how they live. And even though there's like not too much hope for them, they always have like a option, and God's watching over them.
I'm Ty, and I thought it was really cool when everybody in the stadium had their lights on. I just felt like God was right there, and everybody was enjoying it and having fun, and it just made me realize how many other people love God as much as I do.
Hi, I'm Sarah Grace. What I took away from it was the speakers. They were really relatable. And I think everybody goes through a phase where they blame God if they're having a really hard time. And as a teenager, I've done that a lot. But they taught us that you're going to make mistakes, but God doesn't make mistakes. So everything that he does, he has a plan for you.
I'm Tina, and I had the privilege of being the group mom. And I just thought the trip brought hope, because we see so many bad things on the news. And then you're with this group of mature terrific kids, and then there's 31,000 of them, and everyone is glorifying God and doing for others, and you know there's still hope in this world.
So I'm not going to say a whole lot more because I think what they said kind of speaks for itself. But I will tell you, it's a powerful experience to gather every night and worship with 31,000 other young people. Taylor talked about Synod Day. There were 803 people from North Carolina in this ballroom in this hotel in Houston. And that's a big deal to gather with people from our neck of the woods. It's the largest gathering of the North Carolina Synod that happens. It's bigger than Synod Assembly. It's bigger than the Synod Assembly that elected the last bishop. This is a big deal, and it's cool for us to get to be a part of it. So we want to say to you all, thank you for sending us. Let's thank them, guys. And I want to say thank you because this is a fine group of young people, and they were that long before I got here, and you all did that. So this is a group you ought to be really proud of. I talked to other adult leaders who were stressed the whole time about what their group was going to be getting into, and that was not an issue with these people. You know these people, and you know why it's not an issue. These are great kids. Thank you for sending them on this trip. 3 years from now, Minnesota is the destination. So thank you, guys. And I encourage you to keep this conversation going. We're sending a fair number of these away to education opportunities. Some of them will be here for education opportunities in the coming months and years. But keep these conversations going. The things that you heard them talk about that you're curious about, ask them about, because that way they don't just have an opportunity to grow in their faith. You all have an opportunity to grow in your faith through that conversation. We also had this week, I went last Sunday afternoon with six confirmation students from Holly Grove to Camp Luther Rock outside of Newland, which is on the other side of Boone, on the back side of what is Sugar Mountain on the other side. We got there and it was 77 degrees was the high on Monday, and all the kids were like this in the shade our first couple of days, which was fun. I enjoyed it. But I think that is an equally impactful experience to the one that these kids have had. So I thank you for sending those kids as well. Ask those kids. Some of them are here. Ty went to confirmation camp. Victoria went. Nathan went. Wilson and Jacob Hearn went. And Hunter Hedrick went. And I think everybody had a good experience. I came home midweek, but I trust that they all made it home, and I heard some stories of foul-smelling bags that got opened when they got home. And that's good. That's how you know you did camp well and right. That is most of what I have as far as announcements, other than the things that are in the bulletin that I'll direct your attention to. Are there other announcements we need to talk about this morning for the good of the community? You see this up on the screen right now. If that is a good option for you to give by mobile, that now exists, and it's not costing us anything more than it than just the credit card processing fees. So if you are a faithful check writer, I'd say to you, wonderful. Keep faithfully writing checks. And if that is not your groove, well, you might try this. And if that works for you, we'll be pleased with that too. I don't have any other announcements. Do we have any prayer shawls this morning? We will wish happy birthday to some folks this week, if I can get on the right page. Happy birthday to Marcus and to Cassie, and happy anniversary to Neil and Terry. Are there other folks we should add to that list? Let's pray. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand, comfort them when discouraged or sorrowful, raise them up if they fall, and in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We stand as our worship begins on page 94. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by Christ's authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Oh,
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. O God, from you come all holy desires, all good counsels, and all just works. Give to us, your servants, that peace which the world cannot give, that our hearts may be set to obey your commandments, and also that we, being defended from the fear of our enemies, may live in peace and quietness, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Congregation may be seated, and I invite the children up here to join for the children's message.
Pastor Matt, I'm not feeling it today.
Oh, Joe, you're supposed to do the children's message, though.
Yeah, I'm not very well prepared. My dog ate my homework. There are bugs on my windshield. There's just all sorts of things I got to take care of. I don't know if I can do this.
Well, guys, I don't know. Mr. Davis, Joe was going to do the children's message today, but it doesn't sound like he's up for it. I don't know what to tell you. Joe, you're in the bulletin and everything.
Okay, well, I guess if I have to.
Okay.
Good morning. How are y'all today?
Good.
Well, what was I just doing back there? What did y'all hear me doing when I was talking to Pastor Matt? What was I making?
Excuses.
Anybody in here ever made an excuse? Okay. That's part of what we do as humans. We make excuses sometimes because we may not feel like we want to do something. Okay? Well, when Jesus called his disciples, there were some excuses. But Jesus invited them and told them, everything else will take care of itself. You come and follow me. Okay? So sometimes we make excuses. At home, maybe if you're asked to clean up your room. Any of you have to do that now? Or pick up after yourselves or anything? Every once in a while? And you'll make excuses as you get older. Trust me, it happens. Okay? But let's hope and pray that when Jesus calls us, that we don't make excuses. That we follow him, we love him, we do like our youth group. That's the group that went to Houston. They followed a call. They followed Jesus' call. And they went out and they did great things of discipleship. And that's what our disciples did when Jesus called them. They went out and did great things to spread the word. Okay, let us pray. Dear Lord, thank you for calling your disciples.
Thank you for calling your disciples.
Thank you for calling us.
Help us to follow when you call us again.
Amen. All right, guys. Thank you.
Thank you, everybody. So, if you're going to children's church, you can line up at the door and wait for Miss Tina, or you can go back to your seats. Can you tell me after? Because I have to do some things. Thank you.
This is what the Lord God showed me. The Lord was standing beside a wall built with a plumb line, with a plumb line in his hand. And the Lord said to me, Amos, what do you see? And I said, a plumb line. Then the Lord said, see, I am setting a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. I will never again pass them by. The high places of Isaac shall be made desolate, and the sanctuaries of Israel shall be laid waste, and I will rise against the house of Jeroboam with a sword. Then Amaziah the priest of Bethel sent to King Jeroboam of Israel, saying, Amos has conspired against you in the very center of the house of Israel. The land is not able to bear all of his words. For thus Amos has said, Jeroboam shall die by the sword, and Israel must go into exile away from this land. And Amaziah said to Amos, O seer, go, flee away to the land of Judah. Earn your bread there and prophesy there, but never again prophesy at Bethel, for it is the king's sanctuary and is the temple of the kingdom. Then Amos answered Amaziah, I am no prophet nor a prophet's son, but I am a herdsman and a dresser of sycamore trees. And the Lord took me from following the flock, and the Lord said to me, Go, prophesy to my people, Israel. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm for today is Psalm 85 and will be read responsively. Let me hear what God, the Lord, will speak. He will speak peace to his people, to his faithful, to those who turn to him in their hearts. Surely his salvation is at hand for those who fear him, that his glory may dwell in our land. Steadfast love and faithfulness will meet. Righteousness and peace will kiss each other.
Faithfulness will spring up from the ground, and righteousness will look down from the sky.
The Lord will give what is good, and our land will yield its increase.
Righteousness will go before him and will make a path for his steps.
The second reading is from Ephesians. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love. He destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and insight, he has made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure that he set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time, to gather up all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In Christ we have also obtained an inheritance, having been destined according to the purpose of him who accomplishes all things according to his counsel and will, so that we, who were the first to see our hope on Christ, might live for the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you had heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and had believed in him, were marked with a seal of the promised Holy Spirit. This is the pledge of our inheritance toward redemption as God's own people, to the praise of his glory. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The dead, and for this reason these powers are at work in him. But others said, it is Elijah. And others said, it is a prophet, like one of the prophets of old. But when Herod heard of it, he said, John, whom I beheaded, has been raised. For Herod himself had sent men who arrested John, bound him, and put him in prison on account of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because Herod had married her. For John had been telling Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. And Herodias had a grudge against him and wanted to kill him. But she could not, for Herod feared John, knowing that he was a righteous and holy man, and he protected him. When he heard him, he was greatly perplexed, and yet he liked to listen to him. But an opportunity came when Herod, on his birthday, gave a banquet for his courtiers and officers and for the leaders of Galilee. When his daughter, Herodias, came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his guests. And the king said to the girl, "Ask me for whatever you wish, and I will give it." And he solemnly swore to her, "Whatever you ask me, I will give you, even half of my kingdom." She went out and said to her mother, "What should I ask for?" She replied, "The head of John the Baptizer." Immediately she rushed back to the king and requested, "I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptist on a platter." The king was deeply grieved, yet out of regard for his oaths and for his guests, he did not want to refuse her. Immediately the king sent a soldier of the guard with orders to bring John's head. He went out and beheaded him in the prison, brought his head on a platter, and gave it to the girl. Then the girl gave it to her mother. When his disciples heard about it, they came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord
Christ. Maybe seated. Weird story for the gospel lesson this morning, right? This is the only story that Mark tells that isn't directly about Jesus, that doesn't even have Jesus in it, in fact. So what's it doing in the gospel, the good news of Jesus? Well, Herod and his people have started hearing about large crowds gathering in the territory that Herod governed on behalf of the Romans, and they find out these crowds of people are flocking out into abandoned places to hear some sort of prophet or something who speaks with authority and who does deeds of power, which is pretty similar to the description we get in Mark's Gospel of John the Baptizer, drawing crowds out into the wilderness. And so right away, Herod gets nervous. His guilty conscience immediately jumps back to John, and he goes, "Oh no, this is John, who I should have never killed in the first place, and now he's back from the dead." So then Mark drops back into flashback mode to tell us this story of how John was killed by Herod. And it's quite a story. It's one of the go-to stories. If anybody ever tries to tell you the Bible is boring, you flip open to Mark 6 and you read them this, right? If you thought your family was dysfunctional, wait until you hear this, right? Herod has an affair
with his brother's wife
and then sees it necessary to arrange divorces appropriately so that he can marry his wife and go on like this was the way it always was, marry his brother's wife. And it's all pretty awkward, apart from being against the law laid out in Leviticus. And apparently, it's John pointing out this bad behavior that lands him in prison. But the story and the family dynamic don't stop being painful there, because then it says that it's Herod's own daughter who dances for him, and that she pleased Herod and his guests, which to me sounds all kinds of creepy. This family has major issues. One of them being that Herod's new wife, you know, who used to be his brother's wife, she's still hopping mad at John for calling her marriage into question and her reputation into question. Probably still hopping mad at Herod, too, for so far having refused to kill John. But when Herod offers to give his daughter anything in return for pleasing him and the guests, Herod's wife sees her chance and has enough to think that a brutal beheading was better than embarrassing himself by going back on his promise. So he gives the girl what she asks for. John's body is laid in the tomb by his followers, and that's the end of the narrative. Weird story, right? That's all we get about this story in Mark's gospel, and it's disturbing on so many levels. Infidelity, adultery, abuse of power, at least hints of sexual abuse and sexuality used in turn for manipulation. And it all ends in brutal violence. It all sounds more like to Game of Thrones or House of Cards than Scripture. So what can we make of this disturbing story? I think perhaps one place where we see the light and hope of the gospel comes down to this. As I mentioned, this is the only story in the Gospel of Mark where Jesus does not make a direct appearance, where the action of things is happening totally apart from the presence of Jesus. If we take just this little beheading story of John, there is no justice here. There is no mercy here. In this story, there is no hope for redemption. It's only those in power doing what they please and what they will, taking what they want and acting in violence all for the sake of serving themselves. So I wonder if this story might be a glimpse for us of what the world looks like apart from Jesus. This story, I'm afraid, is what a world captive to sin looks like. Do we have to look far to see the brutality of this story reflected around us? People treating each other as less than human, abuses of power, violence for the sake of self-gain. It sounds to me too much like the state of our world held captive by sin and death. But the good news for all of creation is that John's brutal story is not the only place in the gospel where we hear about an innocent man being executed by rulers that he made uncomfortable. Brutal, too, was Jesus' execution on the cross. But breaking every mold and every expectation, Jesus does not stay dead. 3 days he's in the tomb, but then he rises, because death cannot hold him, and in his resurrection, death is defeated. If the beheading of John the Baptist, if that story is about what it looks like for sin and death to run riot, the good news is that the resurrection of Jesus means that sin, death, and the devil have already been crippled. And I know that it doesn't always seem so. That's because we live in this strange in-between time, right? Between the days of Jesus' defeat of sin and all that ails the world that happens in the cross and the resurrection, and Jesus' return in glory to make all things new. We're caught in the middle, and in the meantime, the story of this world is not one where Jesus fails to make an appearance, because Jesus shows up in our story here at this table, for one, in bread and wine, certainly in the work of the church, certainly where two or three are gathered, where 31,000 are gathered to hold their lights up and sing praise to God. That's the body of Christ here gathered in these pews, in Houston serving at the Beacon, a homeless day center. That's Christ's body gathered as one. In the faces of those in need, that's Christ here with us. So we know that this is not a story. Our story is not one where Christ doesn't show up. Because in the waters of baptism, our story is forever tied to Jesus' story. And Jesus' story is about resurrection and life. That's where it's going. Ephesians. The lesson we just heard from a moment ago reminds us that God has chosen us in Christ even before the foundation of the world, and God's good will is to gather up all things in Christ. John's death, and certainly our world, will not let us forget that we still live yet in this imperfect chapter. But this is only a fleeting moment in the larger story of what God is up to. Because in Jesus, The story of this world is nothing like Mark's account of John's beheading. In Jesus, the end of our story and the story of this world is already written, and what an ending it is. It culminates in justice, it finishes in mercy, it crests in redemption and new life. Steadfast love and faithfulness will meet, righteousness and peace will kiss each other, faithfulness will spring up from the ground, and righteousness will look down from the sky. All things gathered to Christ and made new. That is our story. Tell it, live it. Amen.
Let us confess our faith with the use of the Apostles' Creed found on the screen or in page 105 in the front part of your hymnal. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
Growing in faith and discipleship, we give thanks for God's merciful compassion as we pray for the church, the world, and all in need. God of truth, put your word of justice on our lips. Bless your church in the task of holy resistance to all the forces of sin. Make us a living and persistent sign of your righteousness and your loving kindness. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of justice, hold your plumb line to the nations. Speak convicting words of holy judgment to those in positions of authority. Redeem all harms caused by corruption and the hunger for power. Restore peace to our world. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of salvation, bring wholeness to all your beloved children. Anoint the hands of all caregivers, nurses, doctors, therapists, hospice workers, and chaplains. Bring abundance of life to all who long for healing. Especially we pray for Burnett, Jane, Marshall, Bobby, Jana, Harold, Elizabeth, Lydia, Greg, Billy, Gracie, David, Scott, Jeff, Chuck, Brad, David, Judy, Angel and Alexandria, Daryl, Wayne, Eddie, Kathy, Philip, Chris, Chuck, Tommy, Kathy, Joanne, the family of James, and the family of Cindy, and all those we name now. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
God of tenderness,
you adopt us as your own. Help us to provide nourishing care for all children in our midst. Inspire us with their creativity and energy. Heal and protect children who are victims of abuse, neglect, or scorn. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of all the saints, you have claimed the faithful departed as your own and given them
an inheritance in glory.
Sustain us in faith until the fullness of time when you gather up all things in heaven and on earth. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious God, we lift to you these prayers and the prayers of our hearts,
trusting in your everlasting love and
mercy through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
Also with you.
Share a sign of Christ's peace.
There's a roof up above me. I've a
Let us pray. God of all creation, all you have made is good, and your love endures forever. You bring forth bread from the earth and fruit from the vine. Nourish us with these gifts that we might be for the world signs of your gracious presence in Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory.
the gifts of God for the people of God. Be seated.
Have mercy on us.
Now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Let us pray. O God, we give you thanks that you have set before us this feast, the body and the blood of your Son. By your Spirit, strengthen us to serve all in need and to give ourselves away as bread for the hungry. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Almighty God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Amen. We'll say together our mission statement, which is on page 5 of your bulletin. As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world.
Go in peace, serve the Lord.